It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Get back to Tell the Truth Monday coming up at 6:30, where you can call us and let us know what you thought the truth about the game was. But right now, before we get to that, we get to this. The key Commanders that we identified on Friday that we were most intrigued to watch on Sunday, how'd they do? It's our Monday version of the Pick 6.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's get to it. It is Pick 6 time. And Anthony, you had number one on Friday, so let's get us started with, well, you know.
Number one.
Yes, number one, Tyler Biadasz. Was that my number?
Yeah, Tyler. All right,
just making sure. I had to go to the list real quick.
Tyler Biadasz.
Yes, so I had Tyler on there primarily because of, you know, his veteran experience, being able to, you know, diagnose who's coming and, you know, just being able to, you know, help the rookie quarterback. And I think for the most part, I think the O-line did a good job, you know, holding up. I feel as though I think they gave up two total sacks, and one was more so I would assume it was a covered sack. Jaden had nowhere to go. But for the most part, I think the O-line did a good job of protecting the
young QB. They did a good job, not a great job, yeah. I would say. So you saw my notes, Ant.
Yep.
And you were like, oh, look at you with the scrambles.
Yes.
Yeah. That was the first thing I did. I was like, okay, I'm going to make a separate, like, column for, or a separate page for the scrambles. So let me take you inside Jaden's scrambles. The first one is on that first drive on 3rd and 21. Wiley loses inside. Jaden doesn't even really look downfield. He gets 4 yards. He gets tackled. Whatever. It's also 3rd and 21. Whatever. Not ideal, by the way, for Wiley to lose quickly, but that's not like a Biadasz identification issue.
Yeah.
4:41 to go in the first quarter. 2nd and 8. They run a bunch of comebacks. Wiley oversets the defensive end. Dubin lined up super wide. Wiley goes out to try to meet him. Dubin pops inside. Jaden picked his matchup, and he doesn't have time because Wiley oversets and he's got pressure. Had his first read been open, that ball's out. It's not. He scrambles. He gets 9 yards on 2nd and 8. Ultimately, not a bad play. 3rd and 4. Deami Brown gets held up. He pump fakes to Ertz. He kind of had time. But then Austin Ekeler on this one. This is like, good job, Tyler Biadasz in the O-line. They got everything blocked up. Big thanks to Austin Ekeler. He probably should have made a throw here, but he ultimately scrambles for 17 yards. But like, it was a situation where the first one of the game that results in a scramble pressure where Jaden scrambles, where like, they have to pick up a blitz. They have to figure out who's coming. Do I have the right number of people? And they do. And instead of just staying put, Jaden takes off. Again, he probably could have had waited a little bit more. He kind of gets locked on a couple guys who don't win and blah, blah, blah. 2nd quarter, 10-10 to go. 2nd and 8. It's a 3-by-1. So they get Terry isolated. Not isolated because he's a part of the three. But they get it to where it's like clear man-to-man. And slot fade. Terry's going deep and it's covered. Oh, God, I'm going to sneeze, Anthony. Oh, this is the worst. When you're about to sneeze, and then it's not going to come. And you're hosting a radio show, but there went the sneeze. But what did I do, Anthony, to avoid a fine?
You turned off your mic.
That's right. On that one, there was also a stunt up front, and Coleman completely missed the looper. So that's not on Biadasz. They 2nd and 10 with 8:29 to go in the second quarter. He probably had enough time here, but he gets 12 plus the unnecessary roughness penalty. But there's good pass pro. It was literally in my note, good pass pro. 3rd quarter early on, he had Ertz late, had Terry deep, and he just takes off. That I don't remember the pass pro on that one. And then later in the 4th quarter, he had time, probably could have let one rip. to Zacchaeus, and he ultimately takes off instead. I do think a lot of the pressures are relatively well picked up in terms of assignment. Mm-hmm. There was a couple where some guys came free, especially later, but there's also some of those, like later in the down, where it's like a delayed blitz situation. But there's some of those too where, like, that's the call, and it's on Jaden to get the ball out. Like, I remember one play, I don't remember where in the game, but like, Luke McCaffrey realizes there's a corner blitz coming off of him, and Jaden, like, he's like, I'm hot. Like, I'm here right now, and Jaden is looking elsewhere. The blitz doesn't wind up getting home. I can't remember what happened on the play, but like, it's good identification. You can see where it's built into the offense to help a guy out. And sometimes blitz pickup is on the quarterback to get the ball out. And I do feel like a lot of the pressures in the game were more guys losing than misidentifications in terms of like who they need to pick up. I do think there's some times in the run game, if I'm remembering correctly, where there might have been some missed targets. Some of those might have been on Jaden to like flip the play, where you're like, I remember one in particular where like John Bates has got to seal the edge, and the edge is lined up outside of him. Like, it's a run to the left. Bates needs to get to the left of the edge to be able to then turn him back and have an alley behind him. And there's no way he's making that block. And to me, that's hey, we're running into a bad look. What are our options there? And Bates tries and it doesn't get anywhere because you're running into a bad look. So it's stuff like that where I don't know if it's Biotish, if it's Daniels, but I think overall, like, Biotish did a good job mostly with that stuff. My bigger gripe with Biotish is, like, can you get a little more movement in the run game? I don't think that they got a ton up the gut there. I think they had some good stuff off Cosme and Wiley to the right. They had some good stuff to the other side occasionally, but I think most of their big runs, if I'm remembering, again, this is all up here off the noggin, were more like outside right or kind of in that B gap to the right between Cosme and Wiley. So a little more movement up front, I think, will be nice. But then again, I also don't really need to go too hard on Tyler Biotish because he's trying to move an actual mountain of a man.
Yeah.
Like, moving Vita Vea sucks.
Not easy.
So that's the Tyler Biotish story.
Number two.
Number two in our pick six, the left tackles. I already mentioned Coleman had that one miss, but I think overall he did a pretty good job. Like, when he was in, I tried to lock in on him a little bit and see how he held up. And like, he did an overall good job. There was one big, oh God, now is the time when I have too many notes. But there was like a huge hit. I think the biggest one of the game where Lucas missed. And I was like, oh, that hurt. Ouchies. Lucas beat for sack. Yeah. So that was the first drive of the second half. The sack fumble where our guy Tyler Biotish recovers it. Lucas got smoked on that one. But that happens, you know. And overall, he was fine. Got a couple outside runs or outside screens where you're like, I would like someone to be out there a little bit faster because that's not Cornelius Lucas' strength. So I would say my takeaway from the left tackle performances are I'm excited for Brandon Coleman to take on more left tackle snaps. That's not that Lucas did a bad job, but when that job is Coleman's, this offense is better.
Number three.
Anthony.
Man, number three, them corners that we have out there, Benjamin St. Juice and Emmanuel Forbes. Now, I will say this. Mike Evans did not have over 100 yards, but still, he had two touchdowns. He had some big catches. And also, Chris Godwin. They helped both of those help convert a lot of third downs. I think when it comes to, like, Emmanuel Forbes, I think you touched on it earlier in the first and 10. It's more so like his confidence is, like, it seems shot.
Yeah.
And he has to be able to, you know, play through mistakes. You know, next play. Like, that's what you got to do. And he's young. He's still, like, you know, developing. And I think he just has to, like, get that through his head. But Benjamin St. Juice, the fact that he's very coachable. Dan Quinn, actually talking about him earlier today as well.
I was going to say, I had the bite from last night. Tell, you know, it's going to be pretty easy to see when Dan is talking about BSJ here. I would say a lot of the other stuff he says is about Emmanuel, even if he doesn't directly say it.
Yeah, discipline will win it, right? That's what I said. I thought it probably goes further than that. Discipline can also mean holding the right leverage, you know, in a coverage. It can mean the right gap sound. So I'd say it can probably expand bigger. But sometimes one thing compounds the next. And so when the time of possession, for instance, is that out of whack, I think that's directly correlated to third down. And they were probably close to 70%, and we were about 25%. So that's, it wasn't like one team just controlled the ball on first and second down.
All right, let's get the, this is the bite that I thought
I just rotated people around, and I think, like, it comes from a place of competing and knowing how to, and knowing when to make the right decisions into those spaces, and so that's what we'll work on. Technique-wise, usually you ask a player, what'd you see, and if they know how to correct it already, then you're in a good spot. And that was Ben on the first touchdown to Evans. I need to turn the other way. I need to look. Okay, you got it. If you ask a player, and I don't know, that's a bigger concern. And so those guys know the things they need to work on, and that's why it did sting. And there's a lot for us to work on. But third downs, Nick, I would say collectively defensively, I wouldn't put it on one versus the other.
When he's talking about, like, oh, if you look at a guy and he, you ask him what's up and he doesn't know, like, that's not good. That's Emmanuel Forbes. That's not good. That's Forbes was bad yesterday, just straight up bad. And I think there's not a lot of more weeks in that with the camp he had. Like, he came on really strong at the end. He got his head on straight. He did the things they asked. He was playing good ball. But you got to do it in games. And ultimately, if the lights come on and you shrink away, that's not going to fly for this group. And I don't know what else they can do at corner. I don't know if there's someone they can go out and sign. There's a veteran that's still, being super patient. Guys like Gilmore have signed. If they can make a trade, or whether you're just going to have to eat it for the rest of the year at that position. But if they decide, like, to me, Forbes is like Dotson. If you decide he's not it, it's time to go. It's time to move on. If you can trade him for something and someone else wants him, it was a first-round pick last year. You should be able to get a conditional something for him. But he's just not worth keeping around if he's not going to be a part of the long term with his draft position and all that kind of stuff. Because you want to get a guy that's can go play special teams or something like that, or to take Noah Igbinoghene if he's going to be your guy off of special teams. Michael Davis, if he's your guy, making sure that he doesn't have any team's responsibility. So I am curious to see. And by the way, they did go Igbinoghene. Was Davis, like,
he didn't play?
Yeah, he was
on special teams.
So I thought that was interesting as well. But by the same token, you talk about the first bite that I played on accident, the discipline and leverage and that kind of stuff. Like, some of that stuff's about Sanders still. Like, he was a rookie in his first game. And so they all have their points to grow on. But, like, with St. Juice, he's like, hey, I know what I did. I'll do better next time. He's got to do it because he also was like that last year. But I think this year I'm more inclined to believe him because of the coaching being better. Sanders still, he plays his ass off, dude. He is all over the tape. Unfortunately, sometimes he's behind where he needs to be. But you can see the makings of a great player. Emmanuel, your mama said you don't got nothing nice to say. You just...
Number four.
All right. Keeping it going here on our pick six. Let's get quickly through the last few. Number four, not much to say here. Deami Brown was a complete non-factor in this game. We thought he was going to be wide receiver two or be in that rotation. And instead, it was Zacchaeus. Jameson Crowder was more involved. Deami was out there a little bit. He ran like 15 routes in the game, but no targets. I guess... In some ways, I'm totally not surprised, but in another way, I'm kind of surprised because of how good the chemistry was between Daniels and Deami in camp and in the preseason. So if he can do it there, what's going on here? You got to figure that out. Or maybe they just like Zacchaeus better. Zacchaeus, like, he had that one comeback route that was incomplete to him on the side.
Yep.
I thought he got held. But also, it's not a great ball. That ball's too far inside. So, like, again, like, sometimes the production is a quarterback thing. Sometimes it's a receiver thing. The bigger the sample size we get, though, the more we're going to figure out which end of the stick that's on.
But I'm not going to lie, Craig. We see a lot of, on those curl and comeback routes, we see a lot of receivers, throw off their arm because they are going to be held. So I think in one of those instances, I think Zacchaeus, he just got to play through it. And get some separation. And I think...
Well, yeah, getting separation, that would be nice.
That's everybody, though. Like, all of our receivers, to be honest. I mean, Terry had the go route where he was, wide open. But outside of that, I think as a unit, they all have to do a better job of just getting open.
No doubt. But they're also, like, only so talented. And that's a reality of the situation. Mixed bag for number five.
Number five.
Frankie Luvu, Anthony. What do you think of Frankie Luvu's day before I get into what I think and what I saw?
To me, it felt as though he was running around with a chicken with his head cut off. He was just all over the place. And not to say, you know, he was out of position, but to me, it just seemed like he was always out of position kind of thing.
I don't know that I would say he was out of position a ton. I thought his usage was really interesting because they used him as a rusher in a lot of third down situations.
Yep.
Sometimes as a true edge, sometimes as a fifth guy, and they kind of move him around and line him up. And he had a couple of good rushes. I'm still not convinced that the best way to rush him is to not just use him as a blitzer, where he gets a running start off the ball. Again, Tampa's, it's something that, like, for all the talk about, like, Tampa's wide receivers and some of the plays that we're like, hey, or some of the places that we're like, hey, Tampa's really good and this is going to be a problem for Washington. We probably didn't talk about how good Tampa's O-line is enough. They're really, really good. And Baker's got great, connections with his receivers. So times that he has to throw quick, like, he's kind of on the same page. But dang, that Tampa offensive line is good. And so I want to see how they use Luvu in weeks to come and how he rushes against not Tristan Wirfs and some of the guys that they have in Tampa. But if that's what it's going to be, he just needs to play linebacker. But, you know, again, some good rushes, but nothing where you're like, oh my God. As opposed to, like, Jamin has a couple of plays as a run defender where you're like, oh my God, what if you could do that as a pass rusher? It just didn't see quite that pop from Luvu. But again, it's week one. And he did make a bunch of other plays. Like, he played well, I think, or played all right, I should say, as a linebacker.
Number six.
Last guy, saved the best for last.
Yeah,
I thought Austin
did.
Eckler was awesome yesterday. he had one missed block in protection, but he had a bunch of other really good blocks. He ran effectively. He caught the ball and ran effectively. He's a good outlet. Like, Austin Eckler might have been the Commanders player of the game yesterday. When you match the volume with the goodness, like, I don't know that there's anybody that played more better yesterday than Austin Eckler. Maybe Brian Robinson, which tells you where the strength of this team is. And I got to give credit to Cliff, too. One of the adjustments that I really liked in the second half from Cliff Kingsbury is they got away from some of the tight end stuff. I mean, they need to figure out how to get Sinnott a little bit more involved, I think, over the course of time. They'll figure that package out. But they were like, Eckler and Robinson are two of our, I don't know, three, four best players. We need to get them dudes on the field. And so let's just put them out there together. And they did a really great job of being super multiple. Well, they were come back. They ran one, like, I think this was all in the same drive. They ran that, like, funky eye formation thing where, like, B-Rob was in front of Austin next mm-hmm. to Jaden in the gun. They had traditional, like, two backs on either side in the gun. They had one time where they were empty, and you almost, think of, like, the old school wing T, where you have, like, almost tight end wing type of players on the edge of the offensive line. One was Eckler, one was Robinson. So they did, and that was the play, I think, where Robinson had the 32-yarder. They snuck B-Rob across, and then Eckler wound up being a blocker downfield. So, like, there was just some really cool stuff that Cliff did with those two guys that I really, really like, and I'm encouraged about moving forward. But, obviously, the rest of the offense needs to join them. But Austin Eckler, loved what we saw yesterday from him. All right, when we get back, 301-230-0980 is the phone number. 301-230-0980. It's a Tell the Truth Monday. So you get to speak the truth / your truth about yesterday's game. 301-230-0980. Your call is next on The Hoffman Show.